Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Crypto Market Rundown, where we talk about everything that's happening in the great world of cryptocurrency, from the technicals on the charts to the fundamentals in the news. We spend the time doing hours of research so that you all don't have to. And here we are, TiVo, we're back. And you know where we're back at? We're back at all-time highs for Bitcoin, cycle highs for Ethereum. They're approaching rapidly. Some would even say we're squeezing up against arguably the most significant form of resistance that the crypto markets have. We have a ton of altcoin charts that have already broken out to all-time highs. We're going to be talking about it all in today's episode, but man, a lot to cover as per usual. Before we get too deep though, TiVo, we were without you last week. We were without Bryce as well, and that's because you all were holding it down at Consensus, talking to all the leaders in the space, getting the inside scoop. So first and foremost, welcome back, but definitely excited to hear your thoughts today as well.
Yeah, man, excited to be back. Wild week of travel in Austin, Texas with Bryce. We did 20 plus awesome interviews that will be part of our crypto community summit, which will be airing in 2 weeks. We'll be putting some links down below if you'd like to sign up for that. Completely free, but a lot of great insight. And I know we're going to be doing a little bit of a recap at the end of this episode. So if you're interested for that, stay tuned. Also, next week, we might be using one of our interviews that we got at the conference with the CEO of Fetch AI. We might be doing a little AI special next week as the while we were at the conference, we were actually privy to the information around the ASI coin, which will be the merger between Ocean, AGIX, and Fetch. And that wasn't information that was out there before. So we were on the ground, meeting people, shaking hands, kissing babies, and doing a ton of interviews. It was a great week, and we'll do the full recap later in the show.
Yeah, that's going to be one that everyone is stoked for. I know we've been getting a ton of questions about the ASI merger. Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? When's it happening? Why is it delayed? Everyone wants to know all the details. So if you are one of those people and you're curious to learn more about the ASI merger, we got the inside scoop for you. But until then, you know, let's start things off with the general crypto market. What's happening on Bitcoin and Ethereum? Because with Bitcoin here, as we throw up the charts here in just a moment, and also a quick reminder, if you want to look at the charts and you want to look at all the visuals and all the tweets and all the information that we're going to be sharing on the screen here, you need to check out the YouTube channel. It's the Crypto 101 podcast on YouTube. So if you're an Audible listener or an Apple podcast or Spotify or any of that, that's where you're going to see the visual side of things. But without further ado, yeah, I mean, let's talk about what's happening here in the large caps when it comes to the crypto market, really the driving forces behind this. And what we're seeing is that everything is pressing back to the upside. We held the macro supports for Bitcoin. We held the macro supports for Ethereum. They started breaking back towards the top of their mainstream resistance levels. And here we are. We're consolidating at all-time highs for Bitcoin, at cycle highs for Ethereum. But I still am of the belief that there's more gas in this tank. And I think we got a lot more gas in the tank. Not only do we have the Ethereum spot ETFs that just got approved, 8 different ones. And they haven't even begun trading yet, but there's a lot of other really positive stuff happening here as well. And the altcoin market is looking increasingly more, you know, promising here. And this is one of the things that I've kind of been talking about in recent weeks, is that I have been increasing my exposure to the altcoin market. Now, this comes after, I mean, what feels like the last several months, I've been saying Bitcoin dominance is high. And, you know, we always like to say the trend is your friend over here. But now we're starting to see some early warning signs that the market could be pivoting away from a Bitcoin dominant market and maybe even in favor of altcoins. So we're going to be talking about some of those things today. And let's go ahead and throw up the charts here, because I really do find it unique. And the Bitcoin and the Ethereum charts don't look identical to one another. Again, I think the large scale moves are the same. However, there's a couple key differences that I think everyone needs to be made aware of over here. So as per usual, we're throwing up the chart. We have the blue line, which is our 20-day moving average, this red or pink line, which is our 50-day moving average. And then we have this yellow line, which is our 200-day moving average. For people who are not, you know, super technical or savvy when it comes to the charts, these are just areas where Bitcoin tends to gravitate towards and even bounce off of when the price is above it, or reject and kind of see prices fall if the price is below it. But right now we're above all the major moving averages on Bitcoin and Ethereum, so we call them support. And on Bitcoin's chart, we have a big old bull flag. We have a breakout to the upside over here, and then we have this consolidation period, which is where we are currently sitting in. 60K, roughly speaking, is the floor. 72, 73K, roughly speaking, is the primary resistance. And then we have the heartline of this channel, which is what's getting a lot of attention now. So after we kind of rallied to the upside here off 60K, we went back through the 20-day moving average, back through the 50-day moving average, back through this area or the heartline of this channel, which was resistance, you know, not once, not twice, but three separate times. And now we've broken above that, retested the highs, and we're consolidating above all major areas that used to be resistance here on Bitcoin. So this is a really bullish sign. I saw what I think was hilariously silly articles floating around towards the end of last week that was saying Bitcoin is imminently about to fall back to the low 60s. It's bearish here. When in reality, you know, Bitcoin and Ethereum, they haven't lost even their most weakest and insignificant levels of support. They've even held those. And that's what we saw over the weekend here was Bitcoin coming back down to this area that used to be resistance right around 67K and now confirm that it is a support with it bouncing off the same level as you can see from this middle white line. Bitcoin's also holding the 20-day moving average as we were just talking about. This is the lowest and weakest moving average that we refer to over here. And even that didn't break. So I think a lot of the bears here are grasping for straws, saying, hey, what kind of bearish argument can we have? What kind of FUD can we instill into the market? And I don't see a really convincing argument from the bears. If there was any kind of breakdown that we should have had, it should have been when Bitcoin broke 60K right around here towards the beginning of May. The opposite happened in that it was a fake out and it was bought up in mass. The bulls came in, bought this thing up with extreme pressure and sent it back to the all-time highs at the low $70,000 area. And so as we are consolidating, again, I think pressure is squeezing towards the upside. We not only have the 200, the 50, and the 20-day moving averages all pointing higher, we now have a break of the short-term downtrend right here, and we have higher highs and higher lows coming in on the daily chart. When we look at things like the indicators, things like the RSI, this has broken the short-term downtrend as well. We started seeing a peak higher on the RSI as it's pushing back towards that overbought territory. And then the MACD pivoted from the downside as well. And so I think no matter what way we look at this, even especially on the histogram of the MACD, it has been seeing lower levels of negative momentum upon every attempt, every swing towards the downside. It has been weaker than the previous ones from the bears. So I see, again, the bears are getting weaker over here. I think the only thing that the bears can look at here and say maybe the most bearish thing is that we're at all-time highs, right? We're at a very clear, significant level of resistance at the low 70,000s between maybe, you know, 71, 72, 73, this little area up here that we tapped about four separate times. That's about the only thing that I see bearish up here. And I would even argue that that's like the best thing to be bearish about. You know, most people aren't going to argue that we're testing all-time highs, which is a clear resistance level. So, you know, it's a really long way of me saying, hey, things are looking great on Bitcoin, but things are looking equally great here on Ethereum. So when we look at Ethereum's chart, what do we see? Well, Ethereum has been consolidating, very similar thing, except it already broke out of its bull flag. We saw this kind of move to the upside. We saw this falling channel. And then off of this, Ethereum rallied off the 200, straight through the 20, straight through the 50, straight through the top of this channel, this bull flag, even through its next immediate resistance zone all the way up at 3,700, which is an area that we broke down, you know, again, previous support, turn into resistance like three or four separate times over here. And now after we rallied through all that on Ethereum, it's tested this previous area of resistance as a newfound area of support again. Now in technical analysis, we like to call this a break, hook, and go formation. And very similarly to what's happening on Bitcoin, Ethereum has held all of its supports, minor and major over here. And even the 20-day moving average is still acting as a support for Bitcoin. Everything's pointing up. The moving averages, the charts, the trend, the RSI, the MACD, the histogram, you name it. everything here is looking really, really good for Ethereum. And I think that, you know, in a similar comparison to what we saw in Bitcoin, the only thing that I'm looking at here that's saying, hey, maybe there's a little bit of resistance because we are at the cycle highs for Ethereum. And this is what we tapped, right? We tapped right around that $4,000 area. A couple of months ago, back in March, we saw Ethereum top out just below 4,100. And so we pushed back up towards that $4,000 cycle high, saw a little bit of resistance, but it's to be expected. Ethereum's actually holding up really well over here, TFO. And so as we're seeing all this consolidation, I would even say that it's possible that we do see Ethereum come down a little bit more, maybe even a little bit closer to like 3,300. I wouldn't be too shocked, but it's not, again, it's not something that I'm betting on. I see that any kind of dips that we have happening here within the next week or month or anything like that, I see them as buy the dip opportunities. And again, this is an area where I'm increasing altcoin exposure. And what's kind of happening on the separate side of things away from the Bitcoin and Ethereum chart, I like to call it the war that's being waged on Bitcoin dominance. And Tivo, I want to loop you in here because I don't know if you've noticed this or if you've felt this, but there really is a war being waged on Bitcoin dominance, and we're starting to see Bitcoin dominance struggle. Altcoins are starting to take off. You know, we're seeing double digit moves come back to the altcoin market. It's unique.
Yeah, I personally have been so busy the last week that I haven't been in the charts as much. But I will say, whether it was the conference or I've seen on Twitter a lot, is meme coin. I don't know if it's meme coin mania is the right word for it, but like for example, Jesse Pollock, who came on the podcast from Base, yeah. He's hosting a meme summit is being hosted by Base this Thursday, and I think somebody from our team is going to attend it to take some notes on it. But like just something like that is as simple as the whole, you know, some whole online virtual summit being based around memes that are on Base is something that sticks out to me. Like, huh, this is interesting. You know, interesting just sentiment in general of things that are going on in the space. You know, like you said, the large caps are doing well, but the war on Bitcoin dominance is beginning to possibly stack some stats against it. And something like the meme coin summit, meme coins on Base summit is something that sticks out to me that supports that cause.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's super interesting, and we're going to talk about this in a little bit, but recently I did a full report. If you're a Crypt Nation member, then you already got this information earlier in the week, but I did a report of the top performing verticals in the first half of 2024, and spoiler alert, before we get too deep into it, meme coins was the number one performing vertical. And so it kind of fits that narrative, and it wasn't the only one. We have a lot of other cool ones that we want to talk about in just a moment. But when we kind of circle back to this idea of Bitcoin dominance, yeah, I mean, Bitcoin dominance now has started to see a little bit of a breakdown in light of the Ethereum ETF information. And I think the big area that everyone's watching for is we want to see a rejection of the 20 and 50 day moving averages, which is what we could potentially be seeing right now. And we want to see Bitcoin dominance break down below the 200 day moving average to cause a little bit of an altcoin season. Now, when we look at things like the Total 2 and the others charts, again, like representation of the altcoin market, very clear that the Total 2, for example, broke out of both of its downtrends, showed a clear pivot point after it broke out of this pennant. This thing is back on the rise. It's even making a little bit of a bull flag. The others chart is in a very clear squeeze. This is the entire crypto market cap, excluding the top 10 coins. So excluding Bitcoin, Ethereum, USDC, USDT, you get the picture. And so this thing is in a very clear squeeze, just had a golden cross. It's now consolidating and hooking on the 50-day moving average. I'm looking at the altcoin market cap here, and the Total 2 looks great. The others chart looks great, and Bitcoin dominance is starting to fall. This all comes while we're seeing ETH BTC, Ethereum compared to Bitcoin. This thing has been rallying in recent weeks. It's on a little bit of like a downturn at the moment, but it's coming right back to the 20 and 200 day moving averages. And this is going to be another pivotal level for this thing to watch out for and hopefully hold. But again, I'm seeing like just like these little hints that like, hey, alt season could be around the corner. Again, I'm not saying it's here yet, but there is a little bit of I don't know if I should call it foreshadowing, but like the clues are in the air. And I like what I'm seeing so far. So again, with the altcoin market caps and these altcoin charts looking the way that they are over here, I'm getting pretty excited about it. Again, a lot of just great technical developments. I don't want to bore everyone too much with all the details, but when we're seeing breakouts and breakouts of the downtrend and break hook and goes and these altcoin market cap representations having all the moving averages pointing upwards and using them as support, again, it kind of fits that narrative that things are squeezing to the upside. And I want to clarify that I don't think that this is going to be a scenario where it has to be only Bitcoin succeeds or only altcoins succeed. I think in a market where altcoins succeed, Bitcoin will still do well. It's just the fact that altcoins are going to be outperforming them. You know, maybe that's the altcoin market moving up 10% and Bitcoin's moving up 6%. You know, maybe that's the altcoin market moving up 5% and Bitcoin's moving up 3%. You get the picture here. It's not like Bitcoin's going to be going down and crashing in price in order for altcoins to pump. It's just saying that they are going to be doing better on a daily basis in terms of upwards performance than Bitcoin. And so a couple of these charts that I just want to kind of point out before we move on and talk about what we found in our year-to-date evaluations is some of these really well-performing crypto projects. So number one, kind of fitting in that theme of meme coins, was Pepe. This thing just recently broke out to a new all-time high. We saw it shot all the way up. I mean, and if we measure this, I mean, off the kind of bottom of this point up to its rally, it did about 340% in about a month and a half period here. And that's all a really good rally. We also saw Ondo, which is one that we like to talk about over here. This thing just rallied to new all-time highs today and yesterday. And this thing has just been chugging and chugging and chugging. We also saw BNB, a really popular and large cryptocurrency, just shoot up to new all-time highs. And it's still on its way today with this thing breaking above $700 for the first time in its price's history. And they're not alone here. There's a lot of other cryptos that are in this boat. And there's certainly a lot of other crypto projects that are seeing solid performance, you know, even ones that might not be at all-time highs. There's plenty of projects that are still doing really, really well. I think we look at Solana, we look at a lot of these other projects. There's a lot of potential with where the crypto market is at, because even though we have a few outliers that are breaking out the all-time highs, I still think a lot of these altcoins are undervalued. Now, that doesn't mean that we can just like spray and pray the approach, right? It doesn't mean that we can just look at any cryptocurrency and throw our money at it and say, man, I hope that this kind of comes back and gives me a good return. I don't think we're at that stage of the market here where we can just throw money into anything. And I think we have to be intelligent about where we are investing into altcoins, at least at this stage. But again, I do see the tides turning, and that's kind of like my main takeaway from where we're at in the market at the moment. So let's move on. Let's talk about what we found here in our recent report when we are looking at the top crypto industries in terms of year-to-date performance, because this one shook me up. I was looking at this and I was doing the research, and it's funny because me and Bryce TiVo, we kind of came to this conclusion, you know, separately without talking to each other. And it's funny because he was writing about it and talking about it, and then I was writing about it and talking about it, but we hadn't talked to each other. We both just came to this conclusion at the same place, same time. And it's, you know, just funny sometimes the way that these things work. But the number one crypto vertical in terms of year-to-date performance was meme coins. Now, meme coins, for anyone who knows me, is a vertical that I have always stayed away from. It's not that I hate on it. In fact, I think that it's obviously a very successful vertical. But I've always said, you know, hey, my bread and butter is more in like the trading of like fundamentally backed assets and things of that nature. And I think that there's a lot of value and money to be made in the meme coin market. But it's always just, again, it just has not been my bread and butter. I think everyone should stick with what they're good with. And one of my big regrets this year is not just saying, okay, bite the bullet and learn how to trade meme coins, because it is different. It's definitely different from trading like traditional technical analysis and traditional trading. Meme coins are different. There's more sentiment and hype and community stuff that you got to be aware of. And I would say that that's one of my big regrets from this year, is saying, you know, hey, bite the bullet, learn how to trade this stuff, spend the time, invest in yourself, because this has been the number one performing vertical in the crypto markets. And I want to actually throw up a chart here that everyone can look at and they can see exactly what I'm talking about. So if we look at this, we can see that Dog with Hat, number one, Pepe, number two, Floki, number three. And then as we go down this list, there's Shiba Inu, there's Bonk, the list goes on. Dogecoin's up on towards the top of this list, and they have been dominating this space. So when we look at their year-to-date returns, I mean, WIF is 2,113, Pepe 1,000%, Floki 800%, and the list goes on over here. And for people who are wondering, saying, hey, I know this meme coin that did 100,000%, this study was limited to the top 100 coins by market cap. So if your coin that you're thinking about is not one of the top 100 coins in terms of market capitalization, then it's not going to be inside this list. It's not going to be inside this study. But there's lots of great projects on here. And so beyond meme coins, beyond that kind of trend that we saw, some other ones that we wanted to note and highlight over here were tech-based cryptocurrencies, things that are in the AI sector or in the computing or graphic processing sector. So this could be things like Render and Akash and FET and Ocean and AGIX. And those are some cryptos that are listed on here as well. I mean, we see Pendle, we see FET, we see AGIX up here, we see Render, we see Akash towards the top of this list. And these are all cryptos inside of these specific sectors that have also stood out as some of the top performing verticals in the crypto markets. Now, one that I noticed that was not on this list that was still a top performing vertical was the RWA and tokenization space. And the reason that this was not super highlighted inside of this list is because it's still a rather new and thus small sector. So a lot of the RWA and tokenization coins and projects are not in the top 100 in terms of market cap, but they still saw really, really great returns. Now, this is an ecosystem that I still think has a lot of potential. I still think it's very early on. It has not seen it really hasn't seen a full euphoric bull market yet. When we look at a lot of the projects that kind of led the RWA and tokenization space, they really weren't around in the last market cycle or anyone prior to this. I think the only thing that you could argue that might have had its toes dipped into those waters is maybe Maker. But Maker is really so much more than just an RWA project, specifically speaking. You know, the one that we can look at that was on this list was Ondo, and it's still up about 764% this year. And, you know, it's pretty good year-to-date return, right? So this all kind of raises the question about which ones could be next. And I think all these verticals are definitely ones to keep an eye on. I mean, after all, they've been some of the top performing verticals for the first half this year. I think they're definitely worth paying attention to in the second half of this year. But one in particular has stood out to me, and that's the Ethereum ecosystem. Because we have the ETFs that are supposed to be coming out and hopefully begin trading this month, if not early next month. And if that happens, then what we could see is tons of new users, an increase in activity, new people coming to the Ethereum ecosystem, businesses now being exposed to the Ethereum ecosystem. And if that happens, I don't see a world where having a massive increase in users and activity and wallets and all this stuff is a bad thing for the Ethereum ecosystem. I think that it would only be a good thing because even if people are just invested in the ETFs, well, even if like 10% of those people go, let me expand this thing a little bit further. Let me actually trade or buy or look into Ethereum infrastructure, or let me look at some Ethereum-based cryptocurrency projects. Let me look at that stuff. And even if the conversion rate is 10% or 20% of these ETF people who actually buy the spot Ethereum ETF, well, again, that's a huge bump in activity. And so a lot of Ethereum infrastructure or Ethereum projects could benefit from this. And we saw Ethereum projects rallying when the ETFs got approved around that time. So if the ETFs begin trading and there's a huge inflow in activity and stuff to Ethereum, Ethereum's ecosystem could be next after being suppressed for quite a long time. You know, when we go back to this ETH-BTC chart that we see over here, ETH-BTC has been on a downtrend for quite some time now. And I think that this, if or when this trend really does reverse, there's going to be a big old squeeze and breakout that happens, and a lot of these projects that are Ethereum-based and have been suppressed could go on the breakout. And we've already seen that started to happen. I mean, Chainlink's had a really nice rally in recent weeks. We have Uniswap down here that has been going really strong as well. There it is. Uniswap's been going really strong over here. I think just in the last, in the last like 2-3 weeks, it's up about 62%. Aave's another one that's been doing really good. And so I think 1inch was another one. So a lot of Ethereum-based infrastructure here is looking solid. And so this is an ecosystem that I'm looking out for. I'm saying, hey, if these Ethereum ETFs get approved, it could just be a good thing. Tivo, is there anything that in particular caught your eye about any of this? Maybe the ecosystems, maybe Ethereum?
Yeah, well, actually the meme coin thing did. So we had an interview last week in Austin with a gentleman named Renek Pally, and he's a VC. His firm's name is Stratos, I believe, and he was really interesting. I think we're going to have him back on either for a podcast, or I was thinking maybe even just inviting him to do the rundown with us one day. Really well-spoken guy, and we had a 20-minute conversation that's going to be on the Crypto Community Summit. And his strategy currently is like meme coin focused. And it was really fascinating to watch him and Bryce have a conversation similar to kind of like what you just said, is that's maybe not our biggest style on how we've operated here. And he's not just all in meme coins, obviously, but I think he's been in crypto for a while. He's made, a lot of great decisions on the large caps. And so he's kind of taken those profits and has started studying the meme game. And the coolest part about it was he didn't sit there and tell you that he had this magic formula on how to find the 10x or 20x meme coin. He's just like, hey, like, we kind of do some research and we try to figure out where the hype might be. And we pick a bunch of them or a couple of them and, do small positions. And, some of them you're going to get rugged. Some of them is going to go to zero. And, you got to hope that you at least find a couple winners and either you can add to them or let it ride. And it's a strategy that's worked for him. So definitely an interview that you'll want to check out on the Crypto Community Summit. But that one was super fun to watch live. And then Bryce got very excited about just having somebody be just completely honest of how, he doesn't have the secret sauce of knowing which one is going to pop, but just building a strategy around it and trying your best to get some exposure to the space is something that seemed really interesting to Bryce and I.
Yeah, I think that is interesting. And I think there's a lot of other maybe hedge fund managers or just people in the crypto market, traders in general, that are coming to that same conclusion here and saying, hey, even if I wasn't like the most interested or used to this in the past, maybe it's time I learn, because there's clearly a lot of money to be made there. And 99% of people that are in the crypto space, they're here to make money. So I think people are looking at this and saying, hey, if there's a way to make more money, or if there is this top performing vertical, I need to be aware of it. And I need to at least be familiar with it, right? So the meme coin tides are shifting and they're definitely gaining a lot of fans and something to keep an eye on. In similar news, Tiva, did you see that Roaring Kitty is back again?
Yeah, I mean, he never really left from when he came back. First off, a lot to discuss, because he's definitely tweeting out that he's got a lot of positions on, and now his Reddit account is back. So a lot of interesting tidbits, I'd say, but also a lot of questions as well.
Yeah, I mean, what does he have now? Like 200 million in GameStop stock? I think he has like 6% of the supply or something like that. 6-7% of all GME supply now.
That's something. Well, let's see. I'll bring up the screen share for you. So this is his June calls, and then I'll bring up a second one, and I think it's just his total holdings for GameStop as well. And this is what he's posted on his Reddit account. I believe it's called Deep Effing Value or something.
Jeez. Yeah, I mean, this is crazy. I mean, he basically came out here recently and made this big announcement about how much exposure that he had to GME, and it caused another pump. And it made me wonder his motives behind this. Was he underwater? Did he just want to make some more money? And also, how is he going to get around the SEC here? I mean, we see Gary, who Gary loves to go after anyone and everyone. And then he comes out here and it looks like blatant market manipulation. I mean, he has exposure to these assets. He has to know that doing a stunt like this is going to affect the price of GME. I can't see a world where Gary just bats a blind eye to something like this.
Yeah, I don't know the law to a T to be able, obviously, you know, there's talking your bags and pumping your bags or whatnot. But what's the difference between that and all the people that go on, you know, Fox Business or CNBC and talk their book as well? So I think there's something to do with being exposed to information that nobody else would have, or possibly if there was something that came out that showed that he was talking to other hedge funds and being like, hey, I got this big account. I'm going to start posting that I'm doing this. Let's buy a bunch now. And I'm going to tweet about it in 2 weeks. Like, I think that's where they could get in trouble. But I think just posting your, you know, as long as you say this isn't personal financial advice and whatnot, it's basically he got in trouble the first go around and, you know, ended up that famous clip of him being on the Zoom with the committee and saying, first off, I'm not a cat, and went through that whole process of, you know, he didn't get in trouble from that. I mean, he was in trouble, but didn't legally, you know, didn't go to jail, or I don't even think he got fined or anything. So I'm not sure if what he's doing is illegal per se, but I got a lot of questions just because he's not doing it the same way that he did it last time.
Let's hear your take.
It's more of a conspiracy. Like, yeah, I love, you know, the tinfoil hat TiVo loves to throw on a nice little tinfoil hat every once in a while and dive down, just critical think around it. And my question is, he's doing it differently, which is fine. Maybe he doesn't want to do it the same way. But when his Twitter account became active again, all he was doing was posting, you know, meme clips of movies and TV shows and, you know, getting people excited about GME and all that. But as a memer myself, like, they were funny, and I guess they were like galvanizing to come together, and like they all had positive sentiment, but he never said a word. He used to do like the last run, you know, years ago when he did it, he made videos and was in the chat and active a lot more. And this one was not on brand compared to the last cycle that he did this. So then my theory was, and I think I saw a screenshot of this, is there was it could have been Photoshop, but there's a screenshot going around that somebody, you know, messaged him to buy his account. So that could bring into the question, like, did he sell his Twitter account? And if he did and gives the logins and somebody's dormant on it, kind of same thought of, like, you go buy a bunch of GME, you now have this famous Twitter account that was associated with, you know, the bull run of GME, you know, the last time. So then, you know, if you have your GME bags packed and then you get the Twitter account up and running, does that, you know, help boost the stock price? And then my second question was, he wasn't posting on the Reddit threads again, and then this week he was posting on the Reddit threads, but same situation, you know, it's hard to know it's him or not, compared to, you really can't tell unless he comes out and does the videos again like he did last time. So that's the only thing that's missing, is an actual commentary from Roaring Kitty himself, which he did last time. He hasn't done this time, which, you know, I guess legally doesn't need to do. But I don't know. There's just something just seems off to me, and just seems a little more coordinated than last time.
Yeah, and maybe something is. And hopefully we get a little bit more information on it. I feel like a lot of GME traders too are in the crypto space. I mean, am I wrong in thinking that? I feel like there's a lot of cross pollination there.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to think, especially the retail side of it. You just hop on Robinhood, everybody's favorite gambling stock pick app, and just buy a little GME, buy a little Doge, and just, you know, hopefully fly to the moon, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, it'll be something interesting. I want him to come back out and do the videos and start talking to people again, because the random memes were funny, like that first week, or I guess it was 2 or 3 weeks ago now. It was like, oh shit, he's back. And now it's just kind of like, okay, well, where are you? Like, last time, is this really you? Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he's scared of getting in trouble again, but I don't know. I feel like just the meme thing alone could at least get him in hot water again with the SEC or whatnot, but who knows?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, again, I'm not a legal expert here, but maybe just having the memes being posted are more open for interpretation as opposed to him getting in front of the camera and being like, hey, I'm really bullish in buying this. You know, he could argue that the meme meant anything. So
100%.
That's where my brain's going, but who knows? Who knows?
Yeah.
Well, hey, TiVo, before we round out here, I know we talked a little bit about consensus. I want to bring it back up. We had these conversations. You know, you talk to a lot of people. We mentioned FET. We mentioned, you know, talking about how meme coins are growing, and even hedge fund managers had these crazy new views and strategies. Was there any other key takeaways that we can kind of spoil here before we go?
Yeah, I mean, we talked again. We talked to Fetch AI. We talked to some hedge fund managers. We talked to MakerDAO. Rune Christensen, a co-founder of MakerDAO, was an awesome interview. And a lot of others as well. I think the biggest takeaway was, number one for me, it was my first time at a crypto conference, was how crowded it was. So I got some stats here. Consensus 2024, 15,000 attendees, over 6,800 companies, visitors from over 100 countries. That's a lot. So that it was crowded. I mean, the whole town was crypto, like the whole downtown area. You could tell everybody was going to the conference. Everybody that was around was there for the conference. And Bryce said this, and I agreed with him, was that he said it was an interesting, everybody was really excited, but more excited about what people are building and the tech. And there wasn't a lot of talk about price. And he and him and a couple other people referenced, I believe it was might have been Austin Barak from Relayer Capital. Him and Bryce had a conversation about how they both agreed that, you know, a couple of years ago when they were at Consensus, everybody was super hyped and it was crazy packed again. But it was like during that, you know, epic bull market, and everybody was talking about the price of this token, how much percentage they made on that token. And this week or last week at Consensus, there was not as much talk about that. And there was a lot more talk about institutions coming in, the tech people are building, and how this space just keeps growing. So it was less focused on price, which they both agreed was really bullish, and we still have a long way to go.
Yeah. And I feel like that's how it should be, right? Usually whenever I talk to people about this stuff or they ask me, I try to keep it around the idea of the tech, because most people don't understand that. They hear crypto and they go, oh, what's the price? That's the first question. Makes sense, right? If you have exposure, you want to make money. But I think people do need to understand that there is a business behind this, and there's projects that are building like physical products and services, and there is a lot of backbone behind this, right? Not all of it is just magic internet money where there's nothing going on. No, like a lot of these do have like revenue producing models, which is really cool. And the way that it is changing the world, and I mean, we're seeing that with how Fidelity and JP Morgan and BlackRock and all these people that are building funds and utilizing the technology, and they're looking at tokenization and whatever it may be. There's a lot of cool stuff in the works. And I think if you focus on that, it can give you a really good idea of where the industry is headed. Because if they are looking at solving $100 billion problem, $1 trillion problem, well, that could make an argument that there's now hundreds of billions or trillions of dollars in capital that can flow into this space as that problem is solved. There's market share to acquire. So I love to hear that. I really do. It's more than people just going, hey, pump my bags, this and that. Like, you know, moon, let's moon this thing. It's a little bit different, right? It's a little bit more, you know, level-headed in the approach. So you love to hear it.
Yeah, no, it was a great week overall, and definitely kind of makes you excited to see what's going to go on for the rest of the year.
For sure. Well, I think that's a good spot to wrap us up here, TiVo. Action-packed week. Excited to have everyone back. And you can bet yourself that we're going to be back here next week talking about everything that's happening once again in the crypto market. So if you want to stay updated with everything that's going on, whether that is the fundamentals in the news or the technicals on the charts, as we like to say over here, we are a little bit biased, but we think that this is going to be your number one place to stay updated on all things crypto. So ladies and gentlemen, if you like this episode, hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, leave us a review if you're listening over on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or Audible or any of those sources. We love to hear from all of you. That's going to wrap us up in today's session. So thank you all for watching, and we're going to see all of you at the same time, same place next week.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you're a maintenance supervisor for a commercial property, you've had to deal with everything from leaky faucets to flickering light bulbs. But nothing's worse than that ancient boiler that's lived in the building since the day it was built, 50 years ago. It's enough to make anyone lose their cool. That's where Grainger comes in. With industrial-grade products and dependable fast delivery, Grainger can help with any challenge, from worn-out components to everyday necessities. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.